Our first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from the book of Romans, chapters 13, 11, verses 11 through 14. "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Jesus is talking about the end times. "But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, and he would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Last Sunday, I told you that that was the final week of the church calendar, and that this Sunday marks the beginning of a new church calendar year. So, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
The church calendar works differently than our usual calendar, and it certainly works different than our society. For we begin Advent now. And Advent is that both looking back at the coming of Jesus when he was born and placed in that manger, but also looking forward ahead to his coming again. Advent is not Christmas, where in our society today, Christmas has begun. It used to be that it would begin the day after Thanksgiving. Now, I'm not so sure when it begins. I think it's either the day before or the day after Halloween. But in the Christian calendar, Christmas is Christmas Day. And there are 12 days of Christmas that start then and then go forth after Christmas. That leads to the time of Epiphany in the church calendar, when we celebrate the coming of the wise men, the Magi. And then very shortly after that is the baptism of the Lord, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist and began his earthly ministry. And then a short period after that comes Lent. Lent is that time of preparation on our part for Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. It's a time of confession of our sin and repentance from our sins. And then comes Easter, or Good Friday and Easter, where we celebrate both Jesus' death and his resurrection. And then for 8 weeks later, it's Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit descending upon the followers of Jesus and the birth of the church. And then that period of ordinary time that leads us to what we celebrated last Sunday, which is the end of the year and Christ is King. The Christian calendar works as in a cycle that we go through every year. But to best understand that cycle, we have to understand God's story that we're told in the Bible, because that's not a circular thing, but it began with creation, with God creating the world and all that is in it, and it being good. And yet the story tells of how sin entered into the world and created this chasm between God and us as human beings. And the rest of the Bible is the story of God bringing about reconciliation and restoration of the creation. And we see it throughout the Old Testament, God raising up a people and working in their midst, even when they sin and they fall away from God. But then it brings us to the birth of Christ. God entering into the world. I love the way the Gospel of John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word created all things. And then you skip down a few verses and it said, the Word became flesh and lived among us. Jesus has come, God in the flesh, to show us how to live, but more than that, to give us life through his death and resurrection, his conquering sin and death. And so we begin this new year with the celebration of Advent, the looking back and the looking ahead. Waiting with hope and anticipation for what God will do and what God has done. I find it interesting that our lectionary readings this morning exclusively look toward the second coming of Christ, not the first. In Isaiah, it talks about Jerusalem and the temple being lifted up and people from all nations coming to it to learn of the Lord and to be instructed of the Lord that there will be peace in earth and the weapons of war will be turned into tools for peace. And there will be no more war. And then you have the gospel lesson and the epistle lesson, it is interesting that they talk about Christ's return. And the readers, the original readers of Matthew's gospel and of Paul's letter to the Romans, they were all anticipating Christ's return during their lifetimes. And they were praying and they were excited for Christ to return. Well, 2,000 years later, that anticipation is kind of diminished. And we're not always anticipating Christ's return. We're not always hopeful for Christ's return. Sure, there are folks that from time to time, that urgency and that anticipation will come, and they'll start thinking of when Christ will return, and they get all excited, and they even, some of them, predict exact days and times that it will happen. And then they're disappointed because it hasn't happened yet. And so it can kind of lead to two extremes. You have the one extreme that I would say is the Christian who is agnostic toward the second coming. It's like it hasn't come. I don't know if it is going to come. And so they enter into this perpetual apathy. Husbands. And then on the other side, you have the extreme of those who are fervent about their belief that the second coming will come at any time now. And not only that, it's coming soon. And they're looking at the prophecies and the predictions, and they're trying to put it in line with the current events of the day, and so that they can say, it's going to happen real soon. And they enter into this perpetual state of anxiety because it's going to happen, and I'm ready. And I've been at both ends of the spectrum. And we have to find some place to be there in the middle. A place where we do have hope and anticipation. We have we're expecting it to come, and we are assured that it's coming. We have to have faith to replace the apathy, and we need to have hope to replace the anxiety, and we wait for Christ to come. And the scriptures talk about us to be awake, be ready, because it can come at any time. It can come like a thief in the night. And it may come with Jesus coming down from the clouds, or it may even come, as Jesus talked about in one of his parables, of you walking around the corner and discovering a homeless person in front of you, or coming across your neighbor who's ill clothed, or coming across someone who's sick or in prison, because Christ says that as you have treated them, this is how you have treated Jesus. So sometimes our hope and anticipation is not Jesus returning from the sky, but how do we see Jesus in our midst? How do we have this hope and anticipation in these days that we live in? Well, I came across a story that I think, or an illustration that I hope maybe makes this clear for you. During World War II, the Nazi Germans invaded France, conquered the nation, put it under their dominion. But there was a group of people that continued to fight against the Germans. They were the French resistance. And they were only small in number compared to the soldiers that were there. They weren't armed as strongly as the soldiers. They had little chance of defeating this German army, and yet they consistently fought against them whenever they could and however they could. And if you were to ask one of them, why do they persist when against such overwhelming odds that they had no chance of winning, they would have told you perhaps something like this. We know that across the English Channel, there's an invasion force being prepared, assembled. And we don't know when. We don't know the day, the time, or the place. But we know one day that invasion force is going to cross the English Channel and start the fight here on our soil against the Germans. And when they do, we will join in with them and we will win. Hope and anticipation. Let me share one more story. Everyone knew that the sons of John D. Rockefeller would inherit a vast wealth when he died. But he wanted his sons to also know how others lived. So he had both of his sons work in the oil rigs. For 2 years or more, they worked in these oil rigs among the common laborers of Rockefeller's company. And they lived with them in their midst, worked and lived around. And one day, one of the workers said to one of the sons, "How do you like it here?" To which the son replied, "I love it. This has been the best time of my life." which the worker kind of sarcastically said, "Yeah, because you won't stay here. You look forward to the time when you won't be working here." The rest of us will be here. We don't have that same hope that you have. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of the King. And we look with hope and anticipation that what is happening here on our world is not what it's going to be like when Christ returns. But we are to stay awake. We are to keep at work, bringing about the kingdom of God that Jesus taught us about. Working for justice. Loving neighbor and enemy. Caring for the least and the needy of our society. Working for peace. Working for reconciliation where there are broken relationships. Seeking the well-being of everyone. This is our call as Christians. And this is what we do as a means of showing our hope and our anticipation for the coming of the Lord. This is how we begin Advent. Hope and peace. Looking back, looking forward to what God will do. Let's pray. Lord, we don't know the day or the time when you will return. Some of us have maybe given up on it. Others may be a little too excited about it so that they're not living in the moment. But help us to have hope and anticipation of your coming, one that helps us to stay awake and to stay active and working for your kingdom as we pray that it will come to earth as it already is in heaven. Help us to be working for the values of your kingdom, justice, peace, love, grace, caring for others, especially those that might be least in our society or those that might be most needy in our society. Let us be a people of light, light that shines forth into the darkness. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.